And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, in one of Shakespeare's plays, the lead character, a king, says, "My kingdom for a horse." The Republicans are looking for a speaker. There is no government because the Republicans refuse to vote for a speaker.
Yeah, what's
going to happen here?
Well, they're riding a horse with no name.
The no-name horse, yeah. But yeah. They're not riding, and some of them don't care.
Well, this is maybe the culmination of years and years of this building into what Ronald Reagan said back in the 1970s, early 80s. The government was the problem. And so they don't believe in government, except they've abandoned even Reaganism, because Reaganism had at least a pragmatic side to it in terms of compromising where he had to compromise. But it was a totally different Republican Party.
But they do believe in government. They believe in government contracts that benefit themselves.
Yeah.
They believe in the army and policing the border. They believe in the cops arresting black people and other minorities whose presence in society they find abhorrent. They believe that government should do all those things. They believe in roads.
Well, not the libertarians. The libertarians want private roads.
Oh, that's true. They want private roads. But they all of them believe that there should be tariffs to protect the domestic capitalists and their business interests. So they believe in government, but they believe in government that benefits them, not government that benefits other people.
Yeah, and they haven't quite figured out how you do that. how you can have a government that's so limited and so dysfunctional that you can't help benefiting other people or hurting yourselves when you try not to benefit other people.
Well, in that case, they haven't studied the Nazi experience deeply, because the Nazis figured it out. They threw sops to the working class in terms of some health care, as long as the working class agreed to no unions, no political rights, racism, and aggressive war.
Well, don't forget, it's a mark of all authoritarian regimes, the Nazis are one of them, to destroy any institutions that can serve as a power base against them.
Right.
So that means, although the one power base that these Republicans are holding on to is evangelical Christians, even though their support there is diminishing to a certain extent. But that much they want religion involved. The thing is that the evangelicals are not like the Catholic Church, which is a monolith. They're more of a collection of different congregations and what have you, mega churches.
Well, but the evangelical church movement has its own political infrastructure and its own political interests, right?
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same thing as what Bannon wants. Bannon wants to co-opt that structure, but he has a different interest. And I'm using Bannon as an example.
Staying out of jail.
Well, yes, he'd like to stay out of jail. But I'm just saying that from the point of view of movement organizing, he wants their support. He wants their base. He doesn't necessarily care about Christian nationalism. What he cares about is outright racist fascism. And that's what he's aiming to accomplish. And if he can use Christian nationalism for that purpose, so well and good. But if not, so he would abandon it.
Well, the other thing he wants, he's always talking about deconstructing the administrative state, is he doesn't want any restraints on his ability to grift and to steal. And that's a mark of authoritarianism as well. You know, we were talking beforehand, and certain of the marks of authoritarianism are there's misogyny, there's the grifting. You know, the Nazis and Mussolini were thieves. They stole artwork. They literally stole gold out of the teeth of the people that they murdered.
And not only that, but they promoted a culture of petty thievery, so that corruption infected their entire movement, and they justified petty thievery, because justifying petty thievery legitimized gross thievery on their part.
Right, which is why they don't want to see people prosecuted.
Right.
And then the other thing is violence, and the use of violence.
Well, they have a cult of brutality and violence.
Yeah, but to make it an acceptable part of the movement. Now, on the other hand, they are out there saying, you know, that we've got to have law and order. We have to put down crime in the cities and things like that.
But those are all racist code words.
Yeah.
And it cuts across the board. I mean... In Nazi Germany, the criminals were the Jews. In India, the criminals are the Muslims. Here, the criminals are minorities and people of color. That's right. I mean, but it's always the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The thems.
The them. The subhumans.
Yeah. By the way, just as an aside, I don't know if you saw this week that the FBI statistics, the murder rates are plunging.
Crime is at an all-time low.
It's going back down in most areas.
Yeah.
The problem,
despite
is,
the fact that that's true, the MAGA people are talking about the rise in crime, something that isn't happening.
The perception. Well, but they're able to show some of these things, like these organized groups of shoplifters. The smash and grab, where you get 20 people run into a store and grab all of the items they can and take off.
Yeah, but that's why it's good not to allow social studies to take place, because then you deal with anecdote rather than comprehensive survey that shows what's the whole picture.
Yeah.
You know, if I got 10 people in my family and one person has a deathly illness, I can't say that my whole family is deathly ill unless I focus only on that one person.
Well, but they have the means to focus. I mean, it's Fox News running on a loop.
No, but the point I'm making is that their anti-intellectualism, their disdain for social science has a political purpose. It's not merely anti-intellectualism. It's in order for them to be able to fabricate a world that doesn't really exist and try to convince you that's the world that does exist.
Right, and not have it analyzed truthfully.
Exactly, because you don't know the data. You don't know really what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, well, look at what DeSantis is doing in Florida with that new college, right?
Yeah.
The getting rid of the old faculty, stuffing it with people who are politically aligned with him, who will ignore the data or twist the data or what have you.
Yeah. Well,
so we're seeing that. But anyway, getting back to the Congress, I mean, the dysfunction, the old saying that Will Rogers, remember, I don't belong to an organized political party, I'm a Democrat, has flipped. there is no right now organized, at least congressional. House Congressional Republican Party. And this has been coming for quite some time. The dysfunction. I don't want to say it's the logical conclusion, but right now it's the end product of the Gingrich revolution, where his idea was tear everything down because we can't win under the old order. So we tear it down and I'm trying to see how to put it. We use the chaos to our advantage. I guess, would be the thing. But of course, you know, Gingrich got ousted himself, and they and this line of Republican speakers, they haven't gotten much further. You know, Bob Livingston didn't get much further. The only one that got there for a long time was Denny Hastert, who they kind of plucked from obscurity. And I think most of his success was due to the fact that he had a Republican president who still had political chops and knew how to at least control the party. And there were enough what we call quote unquote normal Republicans in the House at the time. Now we've elected the Jim Jordans, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Matt Gaetzes, the Andy Biggs, you just go on, and Paul Gosar's, the Chaos Caucus.
Well, isn't it the case that the people that you've just mentioned really don't believe that legislation and the legislature has a significant role to play in their scheme of things? They're trying to impose an authoritarian order. In an authoritarian order, the hallmark of it is, by definition, legislation doesn't count. Legislatures don't count. The reflection of the people's will doesn't count. If the reflection of the people's will doesn't count, there's no role for the legislature except as a rubber stamp to the executive. So for them, the fact that the legislature can't act is perfect. It's exactly what they think it should be. It should be a place where people think the legislature can act, but doesn't actually act and can't act. And well, that's how they do it.
Well, but they want it to act, but only it's all or nothing. It's only what we want without compromise. And if we can't get anything through without compromise, then nothing will get through. Even in the face of defeat, you know.
Right, and that lays the way for the strong man to appear who says, listen, this doesn't work. I can get things through. Right. And then all the legislators who are like Gates say, oh, thank God. Thank God now we can have proper legislation. Let's follow what the guy is, Mussolini, right. Trump, whoever.
Yeah, the strong man in Ruth Van Giet's book. But don't forget, in legislature, the Republicans are really blocking the will of the people on so many issues. For instance, on the issue of guns, even more what people consider modest proposals, you know, background checks. There's a case going to the Supreme Court this term about keeping people with violent domestic tendencies away from guns. You know, they don't want that 100 round of ammunition. You know, that can be loaded at once. Those kind of things. They don't want that. There's a whole host of other things that the Republicans are on the wrong side of by huge margins.
But that's just, isn't that really just the tangible way in which they express this? In the first instance, their racism, and in the second instance, their belief in lynch law rather than in justice. Because, after all, who are the guns? Why do they want these guns? They want these guns to keep blacks from invading their neighborhood. They say it outright. Or keep immigrants from invading their neighborhoods. They say it outright. That's what they want. Or to be able to overthrow the government.
Yeah, to fight the government.
Yeah.
You know, if the government won't
but
do...
But not their government.
If the government won't do what we demand that they do...
We can make them.
Then we have them, you know, and we can't change that democratically, then we will take this into our own hands.
And by the way, that was one of the factors that led to Jim Jordan's defeat in the third vote, and even in the second vote, because Jordan used as an organizing principle pressure tactics against the families of the congressmen. And he had an organized campaign in which congressmen were called or texted and were told that their lives were in danger, their families' lives were in danger, their wives' lives were in danger if they didn't vote for Jordan. And more than one publicly said that turned them against Jordan. They weren't going to be a party to giving in to physical threats, to the point where Jordan had to disavow it and essentially call it off in advance of the third vote. But it didn't. That was just stage, play acting.
That kind of surprised me, because so many times before, these congressmen showed no backbone. Right after the insurrection on January 6th, they went back into Congress, having had their lives threatened or having their health threatened, and still voted to say that the election was stolen. You remember...
Many of them are now saying that they did that only because they were subjected to that same kind of pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was my point. What was that quote that came out a few weeks ago about Mark Meadows, that he was afraid that Trump would yell at him?
Yell at him?
Yeah. That was the thing, whatever. And speaking of Trump, that's the tactic he's been trying to use in these court cases.
That's right.
Thank God these judges have backbone. These judges have said, we're not going to put up with this. He just got fined $5,000 yesterday and got warned again.
But Judge Shutkin removed, put a temporary hold on her gag order.
Just to go up to the appellate court.
Yeah.
She stayed it, which is normal procedure. That's normal procedure.
But it may be normal procedure, but he doesn't play by normal rules.
No. He wants to use the system, but won't agree to its outcome if it doesn't benefit him.
He won't even agree to its operating principles if he doesn't agree with them.
Yeah.
I mean, in our democracy, the use of force and the threat of force is always subterranean. After all, if you say you're for the rule of law, what you're not saying, but what everybody knows, is if you don't follow the law, you'll go to jail. That's the use of force. He says it outright. He says, do what I want or you're going to get hurt physically.
Yeah, well, that's the mob boss.
Yeah, yeah.
The mob boss. Michael Cohen has talked about that for a long time as to how Trump operates. He was always using the bullying tactics where he had financial leverage on people. Now he got political leverage, or at least he did for 4 years. And having had a taste of it, he wants it back because he's learned how to mitigate the opposition even more.
So let me ask you something. Yeah. As things stand, the government shuts down November 14th,
yeah.
Right? If the Congress can't come up with the 8 more bills to fund the Congress or a continuing resolution to fund the Congress, the government shuts down. Now, that's not too far away. Maybe a month, more or less. 3 weeks, more or less. About a month, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if these Republicans can't come to terms with each other? What happens if the House never opens?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's we're in uncharted territory. And the question then becomes whether or not the political pressure from the constituents who will see the effects of this shutdown, whether or not that will change some minds and bring enough Republicans to their senses. And I'm not sure, because these folks are so different from even the previous shutdowns.
Well, the MAGAs don't want it to open up. They're perfectly happy to have it shut down. Right?
Right.
So the MAGAs represent what, a third of the Congress? And let's say another more than third goes along with them because they're afraid not to. And maybe there's, well, maybe more than a third. But we know that there's maybe 30 to 50 Republicans.
Well, you're talking about the Republican side.
Yeah, the Republican side. Only the Republican side, right.
Right.
This is a Republican problem at this point. This is not a congressional problem. This is not a Democratic Party problem. This is not an independent problem. This is a breakdown of the Republican Party, which has the majority of the House. And as long as they are willing to work in tandem on that score, they immobilize the House. If there aren't 10 of them willing to go along with the Democrats, the maggots rule, right?
Well, they succeed.
They succeed. But that's, isn't that ruling?
In a sort of way. Yeah. I mean, they're not doing anything affirmatively. They're just doing things negatively.
That's what they want. They want to shut down social spending. They want to shut down social spending. Well, if there's no spending at all, there's no social spending.
Right. But then they find the consequences of that. We'll see. What was the longest shutdown? Was it 43 days or am I off
I don't know.
By that?
I have no idea. I hope we don't have to find out.
I do too. Especially in the condition that we're at.
That's right. That's right. But, this shows you, this whole thing, this rear, it really puts into a sharp spotlight all the anti-democratic aspects of the American government structure, whether, you know, all the anti-majoritarian aspects of it, whether it's the Electoral College or it's the rules within the House and Senate that, filibuster rules. The form of districting, the possibility of having districts that are wholly unrepresentative of the political mood of the majority of the people. It's very hard to see how to deal with this American government structure and claim that it really is a democracy that can and does reflect the needs and interests of the majority of the people. When the majority of the people vote one way and the representatives are altogether opposed to it and vote against it.
Yeah, the founders never quite contemplated that.
And it's impossible at this point to change it. It's unimaginable that you could change the Constitution, at least in a pro-democratic way.
Yeah. I think we've seen the last of the amendments for a long time.
On the other hand, the rightists have been trying to call a constitutional convention for years, and what, they're about 8 states away from being able to do it?
Yeah, that's kind of gotten lost in the fog, but it could get revived at any time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I did want to shift a little bit and talk about we're talking about the one branch, the legislative, but we have to talk about the judicial branch.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely.
And what we've seen, thanks to ProPublica, is how the right wing, the billionaire class of the right wing, has been able to, after a 40-year effort, essentially capture the judicial branch of the federal government. And what we're seeing now in Pennsylvania is an attempt for the same thing to happen. In Pennsylvania, unlike the federal system, we elect our judges. And about 8 or 9 years ago, in an election, the Democrats were elected 3 judges, 3 justices to the Supreme Court. And the effects of that were almost immediate, because what they did is they took a look at the congressional map in a state that was virtually 50-50, and the Republicans held 13 out of 18 congressional districts. And thanks to they're gerrymandering. And the state Supreme Court said, no, that's not allowed under our Constitution. And after some back and forth and bickering, they came up with a map that was really much fairer and did away with all these, you know, obscenely shaped districts. And now the legislature is, well, it went to 9-9. Now it's 9-8 because we lost a district. We lost a congressman. But the Republicans have been trying to get control back. Right now it's 4-2 Democratic with one seat open because the Chief Justice passed away. And we have an election coming up. And one billionaire by the name of Jeffrey Yaz, who's a libertarian.
And the richest man in Pennsylvania, apparently.
He's been funneling money through a what's called a Commonwealth Fund to support the Republican nominee, a woman named Caroline Carluccio. And it's been all attack ads. See, the thing is, when you're running for judge, you don't want to have your campaign attack the other side. It looks unseemly. So outside groups do it for you. And he's thrown, I think the figure I saw was $3.5 million. I've gotten five or six mailers, and the last four of them have all attacked the Democrat, Dan McCaffrey. And the Democrat hasn't really done a lot of counterpunching, a lot of denial. And if there's an attack that's unanswered, it stands. He's been trying to raise more money. I've been told by a Democratic operative that the Democrats have had funding problems this year, which they really shouldn't have had because they knew that this race was coming up. It won't flip the court this time. But what it would do is encourage Yaz or other Republicans next time to try to defeat the three justices who are up for retention next year. And we'll have to see about that. We'll have to see about that. The election's coming up shortly. And on the other hand, if they lose, the Republicans might not be as eager to try to oust the three justices. So we'll have to see. But those are the ramifications of this election. Even the down ballot, there's two Superior Court races and a Commonwealth Court race. Commonwealth Court is important because they decide governmental issues, and that includes voting in the first instance. They're the ones that decide if there's an issue with a voter problem, who's right and who's wrong, before it goes to the Supreme Court. So we have to see what happens there.
In my county, Susquehanna County, the mail ballots were mailed out by the elections office. And you know how it works. You're supposed to mark your ballot.
Right. Put it in there's two envelopes. There's an unmarked envelope, and then the outer envelope you sign and date.
Correct. So the envelope that they send out, they're all white. That's the color of the envelope.
Right.
Except in my county, the elections office hired a private company to send out these ballots, and they used yellow envelopes for the mail back. Now the election office says that's okay, that'll be legal. They'll consider that as legal. Don't you think people will be confused? Don't you think that somebody is going to raise an objection and say these are tampered with? And how easy it is for malicious and ill-intended people to raise questions among people who already believe that there are Jewish satellites and Italian software and so forth and so on, to have no confidence whatsoever in this system.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be in Harrisburg this week.
Well, pay attention. Pay attention.
I'll get another idea of what's going to happen.
All right. We'll see what happens with the circus down in Washington. All right. Okay. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.